I'm glad you all aren't dead. Because I'm tired. We get into some places and they just look at us.
Sorry about that. And some of you are looking at me now.
They don't know what to do with us. They can't figure out what we are. I could see them murmuring under their breath. Wonder what denomination they're from. I was at the quartet convention in Louisville. We sang. This guy come and slapped me on the back. He said, "Man, you make a Baptist want to be Pentecostal." I said, "Brother, I ain't Pentecostal, but I ain't dead either." I tell you, the world is flashy, bright, has a lot of attractions, thrills and rides and all kinds of stuff if you want to get involved in it. A lot of people's involved in it, a lot of stuff. And I don't think the church ought to go around looking like we've just lost our pet dog all the time. Sad. And I know we're to have a somber spirit at times, but if the Lord is in your heart, tell your face every once in a while to smile. It's all right. We can even laugh and have a good time in the house of the Lord. And you know, God's people, you should be happy people. Well, joy at least. Happiness is based upon the happenings around you. But joy is a fruit of the Spirit. You ought to have some joy in your heart. And even in dark days, we can have joy. Never learned how to preach. Some of you have heard me. You'd amen me right there. I'm just an old-fashioned preacher. I was raised up the holler. And that's how I preach. I holler. But anyway, keep your finger on that little slider back there, buddy, that's running this thing. How are you? What's your name? John? You're my friend. Pastor's son. When anything goes wrong with the temperature of the church, or if it's too loud, every eyeball looks back there. I feel like every one of you ought to run the sound room once in a while. You'd understand it's not always easy. Some people like more salt on their mashed potatoes than others. And Mama says some of them like pepper every once in a while. But anyway, I'm getting off the subject tonight. Did I tell you I pastored for 20 years? Turn your Bible to, there's a book next to Revelation. It's only one chapter called Jude. If you're able, for the reverence of God's word, it's just my custom. We're losing reverence for the things of God. We're losing reverence for God. He's not the old man upstairs with the long beard that's grouchy. Oh, he's our Father which art in heaven, hallowed. His name's to be made holy and reverenced. I heard a preacher in North Carolina Wednesday night. He and his daddy were up on a hillside and they were hunting. And an old farmer was down in the field with a team of horses and mules, and he was gone and baling hay. The old farmer was, and Brother Ralph and his daddy were up on the hill. And as the old farmer passed the little white church, he took his hat off and placed it over his heart as he went by the house of God. We're losing our respect for things of God. And so we have revival in hopes that we would see some souls saved. We sang the other night in West Virginia. Our friends, the Mylon Hayes family, will sing there tonight. I was asking him on Facebook how the service was going. He's a young preacher, and he's wanting to see souls saved. And I said, if you can get the flock healthy, if you can get the flock healthy, lambs will be born in the flock. Amen. So revival comes our way sometimes to pull back the wool on the sheep and to see what's down under wool. Symbolically, wool in the Bible represents pride. Now, ain't nobody got pride here, I'm sure. Amen. Just as I am. But we're going to look at some things tonight. I'm going to be very elementary in my preaching. You're going to wonder, why did Pastor Eugene get that guy up here? I haven't preached on this message. I couldn't tell you the last time I've preached on the spirit of evangelism. But I feel that you are eyewitnesses and you are mouthpieces for the holy God that you declare your serving. There's a lot of people, if I ask you to raise your hand. If I ask the question, how many saved, there would be a host of you raise your hand. But I don't know how many of you are really serving the Lord. He doesn't save you just to take you to heaven. Now, as a pastor, I think friendly fire would have been acceptable. Sometimes get them saved, knock them in the head, take them home. Amen. But no, He saves you for a reason. We're going to go back to the elementary things of Christianity. Sheep begat sheep. We're to win souls. I wonder how many folks you've won lately. Lord, now help me as we get ready to read your word. And I feel comfortable tonight in this place. But I need your anointing. They've welcomed us. They've been nice to us, Lord, and we just appreciate that. We ask you to help me to preach just until you're done with me. And I ask you, Lord, when we leave this place, would we begin to look at the faces of people differently than what we have? I ask you to help me, Lord, because you know me better than anybody knows me. And sometimes people irritate me. I know I irritate them, but sometimes they frustrate me. And Lord, some of them that are the meanest are hurt and they need you. And Lord, sometimes I'm not patient with them. I pray that you'd help me. And Lord, from the pulpit to the back, where John's at all the way back here, help me, Lord. And everybody in between. In Jesus' name we pray. Now let's look in Jude, let's look in verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Boy, now that's a job right there. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and ever. Say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I want you to know tonight that God has called you. If you're saved tonight, God has called you and is wanting to equip you to be an evangelist for Him. You are an eyewitness and an ear witness. The psalm says that he inclined unto me and he heard my cry and he lifted me up out of a horrible pit, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, and many shall see it. I wonder tonight what kind of a song is coming out of your mouth. And I reckon whatever's in the bucket of the heart is going to come out of your mouth. Amen. Whatever's in the well is going to come out of the bucket is the way to say that. I've had trouble with my speaking. I pastored some Spanish folk. I pastored a bunch of Caucasians. I don't know about you. Look up here and let me preach for just a moment. Do you understand that that little children's song that we sang in Sunday school was biblically correct? Jesus loves all the children. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in His sight. And sometimes we have difficulty understanding that He loves all people, all races, men and women, boys and girls. You know, there's people that look a little goofier than what I look, and that's pretty goofy if you look at me. And yet, the Lord loves no matter who you are. The Lord loves you. And He has brought us out of the darkness into the light, and He has lifted us, and He has established our goings. We're on our way to heaven. Amen. And we don't want to go alone. We want to share the good news with somebody, and we want to invite somebody to know Jesus. And sometimes our tongue behind our teeth gets us into trouble. We get tongue-tied, and we don't know quite what to say. I pastored some Mexicans, and all I could say was El Pastor Darren and Gracias. I heard that down really good. My friend Dave and Jana, they're here with us all the way from up in Cleveland somewhere. I don't know. They came tonight, and God has put our families together, and we appreciate them coming. And Dave and Trey Turner came down to Southern Ohio and stayed with me, and we were going to go hear the Crabb family sing. And so, you know, we're good Christians and we love to eat. So we went to a Japanese restaurant before the concert. And so here's three young men were in this Japanese restaurant, and I have to go to the little boy's room. So I get up and I'm walking through there and I'm doing this thing like men do, and I'm trying to find the men's bathroom, and I knew the symbol would be for a man, and I would go into the man's bathroom with that symbol. Well, the little Japanese lady knew I was looking for the bathroom, so she pointed me which way to go, and I looked at her and I said, "Gracias," and I went on my way. And I started laughing at myself, saying, "You can't even speak Appalachia well. She's not Spanish, she's Japanese." As a pharmacist, I was at the pharmacy one day, and Rhonda came to the pharmacy. Rhonda has cerebral palsy. She's about my age. She's in a motorized wheelchair. She has a nurse's aide with her at all times. And she normally comes into the pharmacy with two baby dolls strapped into her chair. And I tease with her all the time. I ask her how the girls are doing and if she's had to fluff their pampers and this and that, and if they've been good babies and this and that. Well, her tongue was bothering her. And she come back to the pharmacy with my tongue. So I came out and I helped her in aisle 7 or so. And she had a blister on her tongue. And so sweetly, Rhonda looked at me. And she, every time you see her, I walked in the store the other day and she said she wanted to hug me, love me. And I gave her a hug. And that day she looked at me and she said, "Pray for my tongue." I started laughing. I said, "You pray for my tongue." I think all of us need our tongues prayed for. Now that's a whole other message, and you don't want me to go there tonight. But I truly believe that God has given us a story to share and a testimony. Well, Dorothy and Kathy were here tonight before any of you. I just love it when people are excited about coming to the house of God. When they get here early and they're ready, and the sign of a healthy church is people get here early and then they don't want to leave afterward. And I've threatened to preach again just to get them out of the church sometimes where I pastor. And I'm like, go home. It's time to go home. Well, Dorothy and Kathy, bless their hearts, they went to Red Lobster and ate all the shrimp they could eat, and they didn't invite the Lord family, bless their hearts. But they were good enough to tell me about it. How nice it was. I pulled up out here. Dorothy, I got out of the car. She says, "Welcome to the best church in the world." I said, "Where am I?" She said, "You're at the best church in the country." I said, "Well, I'm supposed to be at Unity Free Will Baptist." She said, "Come on inside. You'll find out this is the best church around." So we were setting up. I said, "Now, how'd you find out about Jesus?" Because she's been saved 30-some years. She said, "Well, my gallbladder was bad." Well, my mom's gallbladder is bad. So I'm like, that was 30-some years. And she said, "I got scared. I thought I was going to die." And she said, "I got so sick." And she said, "I come to church." I said, "Well, did somebody invite you?" Well, I think she said Cantrells or something like that. Is that right? Wow, I can't even remember my name half the time. She said, "My husband said, call the Cantrells." The Cantrells had invited her and him to church. How many of you are here tonight that could raise your hand and say, "I am saved by the grace of God, and somebody told me about Jesus, and I'm saved because somebody shared a testimony with me"? Now, it might have been your mama. It might have been your daddy. It might have been an old preacher. Some of you know Jim McComas. What a fruitcake. You got to love that man. We were recording down in Knoxville a few weeks ago, and Jim McComas calls me, and he says, "I want to come over where you're recording." I put him back in the booth and put phones on his head, and we put him on Facebook Live, and we just had a time. I love that man. But he was raised in the trailer park. But somebody loved him to Jesus. The other day we were, now I'm going to preach, I'm just trying to warm up. There's a problem with the church. We're comfortable. I pastored in Huntington, West Virginia. Got myself in trouble because I loved too much. I had a board member's wife. I was begging her in the floorboard of their car to come and unite. She looked as a young pastor who was wanting to go full time. She said, "Your problem is you worry too much about everybody's cousins and everybody else's brothers, and you need to worry about," and she pointed at her husband, and she mentioned her daughter, and she mentioned somebody else, and it was like, "You worry about 5-4 and you don't worry about anymore." And I said, "But the problem is those people need to be told about Jesus." By the way, may I say to you right now, don't get your feelings hurt. The world that is dying outside of these walls could care less than your free will balance.
walked into the Morgantown, West Virginia Correctional Facility 2 months ago. They said, you will have some Muslims in here, and you will have all different religions will come together. You know what we did? We gave them Jesus. Well, that's worked for me so far. I'm not changing. What about you?
Amen.
There is no other way but Jesus. We were in Robinsonville, North Carolina. We stopped at McDonald's. You got to eat. My boy doesn't understand why we stop anywhere else but McDonald's. I said, young lady, we're trying to get to the tent meeting. Huge tent. She said, you're going to go to the elementary school. You're going to go down that road. Well, we listened to that young girl at McDonald's. She was awesome. We put her at the gas station. I got out. Tom was filling up somebody's car. I said, we're looking for the big tent. We're from Ohio. We're singing. He come over. He began to tell me. He was about my age. I looked at him. I said, you coming to the tent meeting? No, I've been listening to it on the internet. His eyes were black. There was a hopeless look. I said, what's your name? He said, Tom. I said, would it be Thomas? Yes. I said, that's a Bible name. I said, I'll look for you. I prayed for Tom. I don't know if he was there or not. We get to the motel. It's a good thing when they, a couple of good things about motels. When they don't have bed bugs, that's a good thing. And when you feel safe to eat a continental breakfast, that's a good thing. My wife went to the counter, and the lady began to talk to us. She began to share. I used to sing. I'm listening. And she began to tell us. I looked down. She had a tattoo on her arm. And she saw that I was looking at her tattoo. And she said, my daughter died on Easter Sunday. She was 28. She said, I said, I'd never have one of these. I put my daughter's name here. I walked away and left my wife talking. I felt like she would be able to help her more than me. And she just listened. What I'm trying to tell you is there's people like Tom and like that lady behind the counter. When we were in Huntington, West Virginia, I stopped at Dairy Queen. Now, I'm just taking my time, okay? You think if that's all you do is eat, no wonder you're in. For a year, we would go, we drove an hour back and forth to church. We met a young man working there named Chad. He had a sister named Kelly. They both worked at the Dairy Queen. You know, in a year's time, we formed a friendship getting blizzards. One night I walked in and I said, hey, I'm a pastor. You ought to come down to our church. He just looked at me. 2 nights later, I had to go do a wedding practice. You may marry somebody the next day. It's a Friday. I got to the drive-thru. I told you I ate a lot. I got to the drive-thru and Chad stuck his head out of the window and he said, I'm crying at you. He said, tonight's my last night to work. And I told my girlfriend that some preacher invited me to church, but you didn't tell me where he pastored. I was probably worried if they put pecans on my side. So I told him. 2 weeks later, he shows up at the church. Praise God. I was able to disciple him. He had been saved in a Free Will Baptist church. He hadn't been baptized. He didn't have a Bible. just going to be nosy. Who you lately been working on to get to Jesus? I know some of your spouses need saved, but you better pray for them. I can tell you story after story of some women that prayed for 30 years for their husbands to get saved, and those old knotheads finally come to Jesus Christ and have gloriously been redeemed. And some women are the same way. And nobody's going to pray for your family like you.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you right now, there's some mama out there praying for her boy. There's some daddy that's worried about his daughter. There's some grandpa that doesn't know where his grandson is, and he might just be down at the corner store where you're at, and he might be the one that's working, frying hamburgers behind back at McDonald's, or he might be the kid that just looks like nobody's ever going to see any good in that boy, and the Lord might put you there in his path. It might be you. It might be you that's mama's answer to her prayer. It might be you that'll reach my wife's brother. It might be you that'll reach my cousin that's so hooked on drugs. I'm telling you, you be a roadblock for your family on their way to hell. And you tell them, if you go to hell, I'm going to pray and I'm going to believe and I'm going to plead the blood of Christ. I'm not going to give up on you. But I'm telling you, open up your eyes. The fields are white, ready for harvest. And there's a whole host of a society that is broken, that feel hopeless, that feel helpless, and they're looking everywhere except in the right direction. We are the church of the living God. And Jehovah God dwells within our heart. He is our Redeemer. His name is Jesus. He is our Lord. He is our Deliverer. He is our Butler. He is our Strength. He is our Provider. He is our God. He is our Governor. He is our Counselor. We don't even know how to put up with ourselves, but He has been a good Shepherd. Bless His holy name. You are a mouthpiece for the Holy God. Speak up for it. Amen.
Amen.
I pray you'd get inspired. We're losing generation after generation. Moms and dads aren't teaching their children about God. And somebody's going to have to go find Jim McComas in the trailer park. Somebody's going to have to speak up at the gas pump when Tom looks at you and tells you where the how to get to church. Somebody's going to have to look at him and ask him, do you know Jesus? Some you're going to have to win with compassion. Some you're going to have to understand, you're going to have to pull them out of the very fire that they're headed toward.
Yeah.
I wonder how long it's been since we've seen folks really cry. When I was a boy, it wasn't uncommon. Man, this sounds so old. But it wasn't uncommon to see the saints of God holding onto an altar, crying and travailing and tears falling on the altar, crying for the salvation of the community. We get 3 o'clock in the morning. They were driving. They had run out of things to talk about, and all of a sudden, the guy that David Gibbs was going to represent said, "You know, I asked the Lord 7 years ago to do something in my life, to create a miracle in my life. And he has performed it every day for 7 years." David said, What did you ask the Lord to do? He said, "I asked the Lord to help me to lead one person to him every day of my life." And he said, "I told him, I don't want to count when I'm in church, when I'm preaching." And he said, "Preacher, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I won 2 to the Lord yesterday." And he said, it's early. We're about ready to run out of gas, and we're going to have to go to the gas station. And maybe that person in that gas station might be the person that the Lord allows us to win." But David Gibbs says, "I'm all about that." He was wanting a preacher's story. He said, "We ran out of gas, and we pulled into that gas station." And he said, "It was all lit up, and we could see a lady standing behind the counter." He said, "We walked in." And he said, "That preacher walked up to the counter and looked at the lady. And he said, 'I might have an appointment with you that you don't know about.' He said, 'Should you die before the sun rises this morning, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Where will your soul be?'" And that lady reached under the counter and she began to pull something out. David Gibbs thought, "Oh no, he's already kicked her off.
this altar, oh God, or whether as they leave, help us to win souls. He that winneth souls is wise. And you told us to make disciples. Lord, if there's one lost tonight, we've tried to share with them our duty to win them to you. We're not asking them to join the Unity Free Will Baptist Church. We're not asking them to be a fan of the Lord family. No, we want them to be a part of the family of God. Help us tonight. If there's any lost, draw them with love. Point their sins out. They already see them. Condemn them of that and convince them to look to Calvary. Let them be converted through the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.